No one needs a gap year more than people at midlife when things are really intense and kind of coming at you from all angles. You know, people in, and we kind of, you know, roughly think of that from age 40 to 55, but it may extend longer than that, depending where you are. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's a time where if you have children, they're in high school or thinking about college, you're kind of in the thick of your career. And your parents may be aging. So there's a lot to manage. So we, you know, kind of looked at that concept, like how can we help people kind of regroup to rejuvenate, because they're probably going to have a longer career. They're probably going to be working longer.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today we have a special guest. It's Lizette Smith. And Lizette is the Chief Operating Officer and a Senior Advisor to Personal Wealth Clients at the Advisory Group of San Francisco. This is an independent financial advisory firm that manages $1 billion in assets. A pioneer of the midlife gap year concept. As part of the financial planning process, Lizette authored the firm's 16-page educational guide, The Midlife Gap Year, How to Take a Break and Still Feel Financially Secure, to inspire business owners and leaders to take a long-term view of their career and life fulfillment. Lizette's desire to help high-achieving Gen Xers plan for breaks stems from lessons learned from her own midlife transition of selling her wealth management firm to spend more time with her son, become a foster parent, and go back to school. Throughout her career, Lizette has been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment management advice to business owners and executives. Her favorite part of her work is helping clients explore possibilities in their financial lives and then, over time, seeing the life-changing difference her advice inspired. Welcome to the show, Lizette.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
You're most welcome. It's a novel concept. I know people have heard of gap year before. What is the difference between a gap year and a midlife gap year to start with? And then we'll go on to how has been your experience with that?
Right. Usually when you hear about a gap year, it's for people, kids graduating from high school and taking a year to kind of regroup before they start college. And kind of the way we're thinking about it is that it shouldn't just be for that group of people, that really no one needs a gap year more than people at midlife when things are really intense and kind of coming at you from all angles. You know, people in, and we kind of, you know, roughly think of that from age 40 to 55, but it may extend longer than that, depending where you are. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's a time where if you have children, they're in high school or thinking about college, you're kind of in the thick of your career. And your parents may be aging. So there's a lot to manage. So we, you know, kind of looked at that concept, like how can we help people kind of regroup to rejuvenate, because they're probably going to have a longer career. They're probably going to be working longer. And we wanted to kind of give that some practical application. So that's kind of why we came up with the guide. In practice, we would have a lot of people in this time of their lives kind of just peak busyness, come in and want to figure out how to retire early. You know, I want to retire when I'm 55 or before I'm 60. And as people live longer, that becomes really challenging to be able to make the math work of working for 35 years and then being retired for 40. That's hard to do. So what's more realistic is, you know, you need to rejuvenate. Let's try to figure out if there's a way to, and it's very specific to people's life situation, but let's see if there's a way we can plan for you to take time off and not get totally derailed from your retirement and see what trade-offs you might have to make, what assumptions we might have to make, and kind of make things possible for people in that time, which can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you have experienced this yourself.
Yeah, I know from experience. You know, part of it too was thinking about what I did at that time and trying to make it tidier for other people, trying to learn from my own mistakes. So when I was in my kind of early mid-40s, I had a successful business, a financial advisory practice with a partner. And, you know, things did kind of, there was a lot going on. And my son was in middle school. My mother had just passed away. There was just a lot, like a lot of people have in midlife. And I think just asking the question, again, that a lot of people in midlife ask about, you know, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? I had been an advisor since I got out of college, so 20 years or more. And at that time, I made the decision with my partner, my business partner, who had two young children at the time, to sell our business. And that all, you know, went well. Although in retrospect, with some perspective, and retrospect, I mean, 5 or more years later, I did start to think maybe selling the business wasn't the right thing. Like maybe we could have made it work, taken time off. And so I kind of want to, I have a fair amount of business owners as clients that Gen Xers are very entrepreneurial. And I feel like maybe I can help them to not make it an either or, like see if you can take a break from your business, if you can plan that and get back to it if you want to when you get back. I mean, for me, it worked out. I did other things I wanted to do. And I went back to school and became a mediator for a while, which are very transferable skills to the advisory world. But I think just in general, I thought, you know, there may have been different ways to do this. And I want to try to help people to really explore that.
Well, you must be helping people with your midlife gap year booklet that you've written. So have you got some examples of how people, of what they do when they're having their break?
Yeah, it really is kind of a spectrum. I mean, we call it the midlife gap year just to kind of give it a reference to something people may know what it is, but it can be shorter than that. Sometimes it's just a break and then people will go back to their job. So it's not to pivot from their career. And often it's a family experience if people, you know, have kids that are not yet in college. So they kind of want to spend some quality time with their kids before they go off. You know, we've been working with clients with this for a while and we did the booklet before COVID. So at that time it was more, you know, some people would really choose to go either travel with their families or, you know, relocate and, you know, find a business opportunity somewhere else and maybe relocate for a few years. Actually, we had someone that relocated to Australia. But it can be as simple as really, you know, taking time off just and staying home and spending time with your family. And that's, you know, there's a spectrum of how expensive it's going to be and how much we really have to plan for it. And so that's part of it. Sometimes people just want to change the pace of their life and slow down and not really get fully off track and travel for a year, but do something more, you know, spend time with loved ones or get some education. They do want a career pivot. And so they might want to take time off for that break and get some training or see if they're really interested. Actually, we had a doctor who, you know, medicine is a lot different than when he started. And he wanted to try just being a photographer for a while. And people sometimes just need to rejuvenate, honestly. And so there's a lot of experiences. Like there's experiences. We try to really work with our clients to drill down on some of those parameters because the answer isn't always yes, or it might be yes, but, you know, sometimes there are trade-offs, like how high of a priority is this for you? And, you know, what might that look like later? So that's kind of the initial part is working through that and helping plan, because planning's a lot of the fun, right? When you're doing something like that.
Yes. Well, it must be very interesting for you and so helpful for your clients that I assume some people would really love what they're doing, but other people realize that they're making the most money from what they're doing, and it would be a trade-off. How could they afford to not do what that earns them the best money?
Yeah. I mean, the ideal is really for people, and part of this was really informed by academic studies too. There's really more and more research about longevity and kind of the changing dynamics of work life. And people are, you know, just don't get on track and work for the same company for 40 years. That really hasn't happened for a while. But even in terms of retirement, I think sometimes people in midlife are still kind of looking at their parents' retirement and thinking, you know, I'll retire at 65 and then, or 67 it is now. But really, there's a lot of research about people happily working longer when they love what they're doing. And, you know, certainly we have clients who are working well into their 70s who really enjoy what they're doing. Maybe they're not doing it at the same pace, but it gives them purpose. And, you know, that's the ideal if you get that from your job. But that can't be the case for everyone. And if it's not, and you need to kind of rearrange things, that's what we want to try to enable for people and really to help them achieve that. So that if they have a long life, you know, they're not always looking forward to retirement. There are breaks along the way. So it's kind of a more holistic way of viewing it.
It sounds very logical to slow down and take the time to smell the roses, so to speak, but they don't want to sacrifice their financial security. So there must be a bit of planning around all that.
Yeah, there are definitely trade-offs. I mean, we fortunately, many of our clients are successful people. They've worked hard. You know, they have a lot to lose. Like, you know, there's some uncertainty. There's always going to be uncertainty, but we want to build it so that, because we can test different scenarios, there's always going to be assumptions, but we can do some testing so that they know, you know, what the downside risk is, so they can enjoy their time off. We don't want them being worried about what they might come back to, or, you know, so we want to get things in place. So oftentimes the trade-off is you may have to work longer at the end. Maybe you won't be retiring at 60 or 65. You're taking some time now, and then you may work longer than that, or, you know, spend less. I mean, there's only so many levers to pull: the time that you're retired, how much you'll spend in retirement. So we kind of go through a three-step process of assessing, you know, all your resources. And some of your resources are like, what's your earning capacity later? You know, how much will you, you know, would you be able to earn if you had to? And then what you've saved so far, even if it's saved for retirement, like, could we use it ahead of time? What would be the cost of that? And then, you know, for some people, the example I gave before about people traveling or going somewhere else, they may rent out their house when they're gone, for example. So that kind of helps offset the cost. In the Bay Area, in San Francisco, where we are, that's pretty common that people can find renters and use that income for some of their funding while they're doing that.
Yeah. So it's a new phenomenon, but yes, it's happening quite a lot. But I suppose it's for us to get our head around that we have to arrange our house differently so that we can do that. We haven't got all our precious items spread out everywhere in the home. And
yeah, that's true. Well, that's kind of where the planning comes in, exactly. Because I think sometimes people start out thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, and that's kind of what I mean by trade-offs. Like, well, you don't have to, but, you know, that is one way that it would make this a lot more secure, and it's up to you. But yeah, I mean, a family living in a house, like, you can kind of clean out a lot of your possessions and keep them off-site for that period.
Yeah. It's more like having a holiday home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to just touch on the health and longevity. I can remember when our government brought in that you could retire at 55 if you wanted to, in that they would allow you to access some of your money that you'd stored away for your retirement. But things have changed a lot. I was at lunch recently with people I went to high school with, and the chap I was sitting next to is actually a stockbroker for Morgans, and he said that he's looking at 70 is his number when he's going to retire. And I think I'm starting to hear that more often because we are living a lot longer. So how do you plan for that longevity? Because I know a couple of people who've run out of money. I know one chap retired at 55 and he started getting problems in his 70s. And I know my aunt lived to 95 and she ran out of money at 90.
Yeah. We definitely, you know, avoid that. But that is an issue. And it's kind of coming up the number of years, and I don't have this off the top of my head, but the number of years that have been added to longevity over the past 50 years is dramatic. And it's also very, at least in this country, kind of segmented. We're fortunate in that we work with people usually on the higher socioeconomic part of the scale. And those people have even longer longevity. You know, it's part of our inequity, but because of access to medical care and just overall good health, it becomes more of an issue, really. The longevity is significant there. And I think what you were saying earlier in terms of taking, in our case, Social Security, you know, you do have access to it earlier. You do have access to it at 62, but the amount that it increases as you wait, it makes sense for people, if they can afford it, to wait later. So, you know, you get more if you wait till 70, for example, to withdraw those funds to start taking Social Security. And that's kind of a separate calculation that we do for people individually. But, you know, the reason they do that is to kind of push forward the idea of, you know, working that much longer and what you need from 70 on. Because you really, there's been a lot of studies over here kind of looking at how people spend in retirement. And you do tend to spend a lot earlier. You know, when in your earlier years of retirement, there's more spending because you're healthier and you have more to do and you can do more. And so you kind of need to plan for not kind of linear spending, but maybe you'd spend more, then spend a little less. And then even though you're spending less, your healthcare costs can go up. So there's kind of, here we talk about it as the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. So we kind of break down that, you know, your retirement planning. And that's kind of once you are retired, but kind of keeping some work can make a big difference for people. You know, the people you mentioned, like I was saying earlier, people that just retire at 55 and don't have any additional income later, that is a really tough financial problem. It's hard to maintain that over a long lifetime.
Well, it's been very interesting to hear about taking a midlife gap year. So in summary, what would your take-home message be to the listeners today?
I think, you know, for those listeners who are kind of in midlife and experiencing that, you know, when can I retire? And, you know, I need a break from this, but I don't see how that's possible. You know, I think there are possibilities. You know, I think there are trade-offs. There are ways to do that. And so I kind of want to encourage people, because I know it can be a tough time, to just think about that and, you know, download the guide. It's at advisorygroupsf.com. And, you know, think about whether that could fit for you, because there's hopefully some valuable information in there. And I think it could really help.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been really, really interesting hearing about having a midlife gap year. And I also like how you finished up there before about say it again, the slow go or the no go.
Go, go, slow go, and no go.
Thanks very much for being on the show. And if they wanted to find out more about you, where would they go?
So the website is Advisory Group. It's ADVISORYGROUP SF for San Francisco .com. And, you know, you'll see information about me and our firm and, you know, our services in general.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. This has been Lizette Smith, and you've been listening to Lizette and Anne Nelson from the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.